God loved us and sent his Son as expiation for our sins.
Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Lord Christ,
a Pharisee invited Jesus to dine with him, and he entered the Pharisee's house and reclined at table. Now there was a sinful woman in the city who learned that he was at table in the house of the Pharisee. Bringing an alabaster flask of ointment, she stood behind him at his feet, weeping, and began to bathe his feet with her tears. Then she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and anointed them with the ointment. When the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would know who and what sort of woman this is who is touching him, that she is a sinner." Jesus said to him in reply, "Simon, I have something to say to you." "Tell me, teacher," he said. "Two people were in debt to a certain creditor. One owed 500 days' wages, and the other owed 50. Since they were unable to repay the debt, he forgave it for both. Which of them will love him more?" Simon said in reply, "The one, I suppose, whose larger debt was forgiven." He said to him, "You have judged rightly." Then he turned to the woman and said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? When I entered your house, you did not give me water for my feet, but she has bathed them with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but she has not ceased kissing my feet since the time I entered. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she anointed my feet with ointment. So I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, because she has shown great love. But the one to whom little is forgiven loves little." He said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." The others at table said to themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" But he said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." Afterward, he journeyed from one town and village to another, preaching and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. Accompanying him were the 12 and some women who had been cured of evil spirits and infirmities. Mary called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had gone out, Joanna, the wife of Herod's steward Chusa, Susanna, and many others who provided for them out of their resources. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
This weekend, we're pausing to remember our fathers. We're remembering our own fathers and all men who have been given the glorious vocation, the mission to be dads. It's a vocation which is crucial in terms of our families, our communities, our parishes. It's a vocation that's crucial for the very life of our nation. So, in a culture which more and more diminishes the significance of the vocation of fathers, it is good to meditate on, to celebrate, and to a certain extent focus our prayers on our fathers who God has given to us. I read this week about a current TV drama called Star Trek Into Darkness, which is about a brave yet fallible captain who wrestles with the burdens of command in space, speeding toward unknown horizons, engaging and drawing the best from his crew. And for Christian husbands and fathers, you too are called to be deeply involved in your families, to work hard for their welfare and safety, to do so boldly through a love that is tied to union with Jesus Christ and his church. The modern Catholic man who sets out to captain his family as a husband and father must draw from the Church's treasury of teachings and traditions, remembering that, as the Catechism explains, the family is the natural society in which husband and wife are called to give themselves in love and in the gift of life. Authority, stability, and a life of relationships within the family constitute the foundations for freedom, security, and fraternity within our broader society. Our fathers have the primary responsibility, along with their wives, of forming and educating the members of their family in faith, hope, and charity. These virtues cannot simply be imposed by authority. Rather, they are drawn forth by grace, by love, and by the examples of our fathers. Is the leader of the family a father? Can offer in abundance what God has already given to him in abundance, namely unconditional love, guidance, direction, encouragement for success, and forgiveness in failure. Fathers are also called to go outside the family, to labor for the common good, to serve others in their parish, in their community, to exercise civic and social responsibility. And ultimately, the responsible father lives a life of a charitable radiance that shines forth far beyond his home and far beyond what he alone could accomplish. But when Christian men, Christian fathers, disengage from family and society and retreat from these noble responsibilities, the entire well-being, including financial and psychological stability of families, children, and society, are all placed at risk. When confusion over the role and nature of marriage is rife, as we know is the case today, society inevitably loses and may even demean the great benefits of fatherhood and masculine virtue. Even the great blessing of children and respect for human life are put at risk, as we know is the case in America today, where children or parenthood in general are often regarded as accidents, stressful intrusions, or burdens. Our fathers are subjected to all kinds of pressures, which can draw their attention away from the fact that the life of a father is awesomely privileged and blessed. Today, for example, it's often assumed that a new child automatically makes the various signs and privileges of economic well-being more difficult to attain. A child is often seen as bringing about a loss of wealth instead of as a source of great richness. In light of what Pope John Paul II described as a contraceptive mentality, we all need to recover the rich scriptural appreciation for children and for fatherhood, as is expressed in the book of Proverbs. Quote, "Grandchildren are the crown of the aged, and the glory of sons is their fathers." In his great appreciation for the role of fathers in the life of the family, Pope John Paul wrote this: "In revealing and in reliving on earth the very fatherhood of God, a man is called upon to ensure the harmonious and united development of all the members of the family. He will perform this task by exercising generous responsibility for the life conceived under the heart of the mother, by a more solicitous commitment to education, a task he shares with his wife, by work which is never a cause of division in the family but promotes its unity and stability, and by means of the witness he gives of an adult Christian life, which effectively introduces his children into the living experience of Christ and the church." I might add to what John Paul said, every sociological study I've ever heard of always shows that the father is the crucial personality in the family in passing on the faith. If the mother alone undertakes this task without the support of the father, she's at a great disadvantage. But the father, and the studies prove this time and time again, is the crucial person in passing on the faith to the children. Brothers and sisters, what a privilege it is for a father to be a sign of God's generosity in the world and to bear the awesome responsibility to live his life in a way that introduces and immerses his family to the God who is love. A father's first and primary task is to nourish his own soul and the souls of everyone in his family. In his Rule for Monastic Life, Saint Benedict describes the role of the abbot. The abbot is a word that comes from Abba, or father. He is the father of the monastery. And this is what Saint Benedict wrote. "Anyone undertaking the charge of souls," he writes, "must be ready to account for them on Judgment Day. He will surely have to submit a reckoning to the Lord for all their souls, and indeed for his own as well." With profound openness to God's plan and by an act of love, husband and wife cooperate with God to bring new life into the world. They cherish that life, and they commit themselves to that child's education and formation, all the while entrusting their children to God's providence. A man who becomes a father is eternally blessed and entrusted with the care of a precious soul. Fatherhood is a vocation of love, a vocation that finds in children the kind of joy that lasts forever.